بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. آپ سبھی حضرات کا بہت بہت شکریہ تشریف لائے آپ حضرات، مرد حضرات کا بھی، خواتین کا بھی. الحمدللہ تعالی، آج ہمارے اس پروگرام کے اندر تین حصے ہوں گے حلال و حرام کے حوالے سے. ایک پارٹ کے اندر ہم لوگ حلال و حرام کی فضیلت، حلال کی فضیلت اور حرام کے جو حام ہے، جو اس کے نقصانات ہیں، اس کے متعلق بات کی جائے گی. دوسرے حصے میں اہم جو مضامین ہیں، اہم مسائل جو ہیں، مشین سلاٹر ہے، اہل کتاب کا ذبیحہ ہے، ورٹیکل سلاٹر ہے، اور مارکیٹ میں جو احوال ہیں اس سے متعلق بات ہوگی. تیسرے حصے کے اندر کچھ اور احوال جو اس مارکیٹ میں پائے جاتے ہیں، پھر اس کا سلوشن کیا ہے، اس کو کس طریقے سے حل کیا جانا چاہیے، اس سے متعلق بات ہوگی. سبھی حضرات سے گزارش ہے کہ آپ سبھی حضرات سنجیدگی کے ساتھ اور پرسکون انداز میں تشریف رکھیں. تھوڑا سا وقت ہوگا اس کے اندر، لیکن ان شاء اللہ تعالیٰ بھرپور معلومات پوری طریقے سے حاصل ہو جائیں گی، بڑا فائدہ ہوگا. اور میں نوجوان احباب سے بھی گزارش کرتا ہوں، نوجوان طلبہ سے، اسٹوڈینٹس سے، اور اسی طریقے سے نیچے خواتین سے بھی، کہ بچوں کے لیے بالخصوص تھوڑا سا نظم و ضبط کا اہتمام کریں. جو حضرات استفادہ کرنا چاہتے ہیں ان کے لیے مواقع فراہم کریں. میں اس کے ساتھ ہمارے مدرسے کے پنجم عربی کے طالب علم آلموسٹ مولانا ہیں ماشاءاللہ، حافظ سید نذیر صاحب، نذیر الدین سعید سے گزارش کرتا ہوں کہ ہمارے سامنے انشاءاللہ عزیز آج کے پہلے پریزنٹیشن کو پیش فرمائیں. جزاکم اللہ.
احمد بن صلی علی رسول کریم. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. As Mufti Saab mentioned, the first part of this program will be going over the importance and benefits of eating halal and the harms of eating haram. And alhamdulillah, I have the honor of presenting a few hadith and reciting a few ayat of the Quran with regards to that topic. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. Verily, we have honored the children of Adam. We carried them on the land and the sea and have made provision of good things for them and have preferred them above many of those whom we created with a marked preference. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the special status and honor that He has given to humankind, to the children of Adam. And among the special favors that He mentioned that He bestowed upon them is provision of good and pure things, طيبات. And as we'll see later on in this presentation, what is طيب is what is halal. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسألونك ماذا أحل لهم قل أحل لكم الطيبات. They ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is made lawful for them? What is made halal for them? Say, all good things are made lawful for you. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with a very simple and concise definition of what halal is. Halal is what is good and pure. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم. O you who believe, eat of the tayyib we have provided to you and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the believers to eat what is halal and what is tayyib. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuha ar-rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihan. Inni bima ta'maluna 'alim. O messengers, eat from the tayyibat and act righteously. Of whatever you do, I am fully aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the same command to a specific group of people, to the most elite group of people, that is the messengers of Allah alayhi wassalatu wassalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them, as He commanded us, to eat what is tayyib and what is halal. And then He mentions doing the command to do good deeds. And there's a relationship between these two things, as we will see in later slides. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الناس كلوا مما في الأرض حلالا طيبا ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. O people, eat the halal, طيب, out of what lies in the earth, and do not follow the footsteps of Shaytan. Indeed, he is an open enemy for you. Here the command to eat halal has been addressed to all of mankind. We saw earlier it was addressed to the believers and also to the prophets, and here it's addressed to all of mankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. To reject this command is to follow the path of shaitan. And shaitan is our open enemy. Now, following an open enemy isn't going to lead to any good outcome. What he wants is our misfortune, and he's going to lead us to our destruction. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa yuharrimu alayhim al-khaba'ith. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes unlawful for them impure things. So as we saw earlier, that what's halal is what is tayyib, good and pure. Similarly, what is haram, what has been made haram, is khabith, is impure and dirty and filthy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ وَالْمُنْخَنِقَةُ وَالْمَوْقُوذَةُ وَالْمُتَرَدِّيَةُ وَالنَّطِيحَةُ وَمَا أَكَلَ السَّبُعُ إِلَّا مَا ذَكَّيْتُمْ. Prohibited for you are mayta, that is carrion, blood, the flesh of swine, and those upon which, those animals upon which a name other than that of Allah has been invoked, meaning at the time of slaughter, an animal killed by strangulation, or killed by a blow, or by a fall, or by goring, or that which is eaten by a beast, a predator, unless you have properly slaughtered it. Here we get some of the details regarding what is haram when it comes to meat. An animal that is not slaughtered in the correct manner, but dies due to blunt force, or dies because of strangulation, or is gored by a bull, for example, as we see, that is not okay for us to eat. And especially worthy of notice is the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, which is mayta, an animal that dies on its own without being slaughtered properly. And this is very relevant to our topic today, as you'll see, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تأكلوا مما لم يذكر اسم الله عليه وإنه لفسق. And eat not of meats on which Allah's name has not been pronounced, and surely it is a sin. We have been forbidden emphatically from eating the meat of the animal that was not slaughtered with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized that it is fisq, it's not just a sin, it's a major sin. Now let's look at a few of the hadith regarding this topic. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله طيب لا يقبل إلا طيبا. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah the Almighty is tayyib, pure, and He accepts only that which is tayyib. This points to something that's very important for us to understand, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only accept those actions that are performed with a body that is pure. Our bodies will only be pure, our limbs will only be pure if we have nourished them with halal food. So eating halal food is a condition that must be fulfilled in order for our actions to be acceptable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلَ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرُ أَشَعَثَ أَغْبَرَ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ لَلسَّمَاءِ يَا رَبِّ يَا رَبِّ وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a man who, having journeyed far, is disheveled and dusty. He spreads his hands out to the heavens crying, O Lord, O my Rabb, while his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram, and he is nourished with haram. So how can he be answered? How can his dua be accepted? The Prophet ﷺ has gone to great lengths to describe somebody in a very pitiful state. He's in a condition which you would think would bring about and attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which would cause him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, because there's nowhere else to turn. But there is an obstacle which prevents his dua from being accepted. And that is that his haram food, his haram clothing, his haram drink, and the fact that his flesh and blood is built from the haram that he fed it. يا سعد أطيب مطعمك تكون مستجاب الدعوة. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, O Sa'd, purify your food and you will become one whose dua is accepted. Again, you see the same theme repeating. But the acceptance of our actions, the eating halal is important. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَقْذِفُ اللُّقْمَةَ الْحَرَامَ فِي جَوْفِهِ مَا يُتَقَبَّلُ مِنْهُ عَمَلُ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I swear by him in whose hands the soul of Muhammad lies. Verily a servant of Allah puts a morsel of haram food in his mouth, due to which no good deed is accepted from him for 40 days. We're being encouraged over and over again in different ways by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to understand this, that for our actions to be accepted, we must eat haram, eat halal and avoid haram. لا يدخل الجنة جسد غذي بالحرام. The body which has been nourished with haram will not enter Jannah. My brothers and sisters, this should be enough for us as a warning. عن النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين وبينهما مشتبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس فمن اتقى الشبهات استبرأ لدينه وعرضه ومن وقع في الشبهات فمن اتقى الشبهات استبرأ لدينه وعرضه ومن وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Halal is clear and haram is clear, and between the two are doubtful matters about which many people do not know. He who avoids doubtful matters clears himself, he clears his name in regards to his deen and his honor. And the one who falls into doubtful matters eventually falls into haram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alluding to a very important principle for us. We should not even be willing to go near haram. We should avoid even those things which are doubtful, because the person who walks on the edge, he has no margin of error. He's always one mistake and one step away from being on the wrong side of the line. من صلى صلاتنا واستقبل قبلتنا وأكل ذبيحتنا فذلك المسلم الذي له ذمة الله وذمة رسوله. The one who prays our salah, faces our qibla, and eats our ذبيحة, he is the Muslim who is under the protection of Allah and His Messenger. Eating our ذبيحة, the ذبيحة of the Muslims, according to the method of the Muslims, has been made a part of Islamic identity. This is how you recognize who a Muslim is. وقال سهل رضي الله عنه من أكل الحرام عصى جوارحه شاء أم أبى علم أو لم يعلم ومن كان طعمته حلالا أطاعته جوارحه وبثقت للخيرات. سهل رضي الله عنه said, whoever eats haram, his body parts disobey Allah, whether he likes it or not, whether he knows it or not. Similarly, one whose food is halal, his body parts obey Allah, and he is given the ability to perform good. My brothers and sisters, these are some of the hadith and the ayat regarding the importance and the virtue of eating halal, and the importance and the seriousness of haram, of avoiding haram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand and to practice whatever has been mentioned. Inshallah, we'll move forward to the program.
ये चंद आयतें कुरानिया और अहादीस शरीफ़ा थे, तो इसमें तो आप हज़रत को बखूबी अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह ताला कुरान और हदीस की रोशनी में पूरी वजाहत की जा रही है कि जो भी आपको रेफरेंस दिया जा रहा है कुरान की शक्ल में है या हदीस मुबारका की शक्ल में है, जिससे हमको बखूबी वाज़ह होती है बात कि कुरान में कितना क्लियर है, हदीस में कितना क्लियर है हलाल के मुतालिक, हराम के मुतालिक. इसका ताल्लुक सिर्फ एशिया से, सिर्फ इंडिया पाकिस्तान के लोगों से, या इसका ताल्लुक सिर्फ उलमा से नहीं है. कुरान में हदीस में क्लियरली ये बता दिया गया है कि हलाल क्या है, हराम क्या है, हलाल को इख्तियार करना है, हराम से अवॉइड करना है. उसके मुतालिक ये आयतें हैं. मुसलमान का काम यही है, हमारी आइडेंटिटी क्या है उसी को बताया गया है. तो इंशाल्लाह ताला इसकी मजीद तफसीलात मैं गुजारिश करता हूँ हमारे मदरसे के उस्ताद हदीस और तालुम शिकागो के उस्ताद हदीस हैं, शरिया बोर्ड के मुफ्ती हैं. अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह ताला आपका तजुर्बा और दुरुस्त से हम इस्तेफादा बारहा करते रहते हैं. मैं मुफ्ती अबरार अल-हक साहब दामत बरकातहू से गुजारिश करता हूँ कि तशरीफ लाएं. अभी जैसे जैसे हम आगे बढ़ते जाएंगे हमारे लिए दिलचस्पी के और भी जो है प्रेजेंटेशन सामने आता जाएगा. आप हजरात से गुजारिश है तवज्जो से रहें. नीचे जो हजरात वीडियो या फोटोज ले रहे हैं उनसे गुजारिश है कि ये प्रेजेंटेशन हमारा वेबसाइट पर भी है अलग अलग शक्ल में, तो उसकी जहमत न करें, इंशाल्लाह ताला आपको मिल जाएगा.
या देयर इज नो नीड टू टेक एनी फोटोज, इवन द स्लाइड्स आर ऑन द वेबसाइट, सो जस्ट पे अटेंशन एंड इंशाल्लाह लिसन केयरफुली. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين. ما شاء الله, we already have looked at the ayat from the Quran and also the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which clearly establish the importance of halal. As human beings, we are both soul and body. We have ruh and also badan, right? Yes. Our body carries our soul. We cannot purify our soul if our body is not pure. if the container is dirty, can the food that is put inside the container be clean? If the container, you know, has all the bacteria, has all the dirt, can I put soup and say, please, it's very delicious? No. Our body is a container. It carries the soul. Our body must be remain pure in order for the soul to remain and become pure. We utilize our body to do the ibadah, to perform the ibadah. Right? Yes? We pray salah. Do we pray salah in our mind? Or do we physically pray salah? Obviously, we pray salah with our heart, with our mind. But we also have to use our body physically. We walk to the masjid. We make wudu. We do qiyam, qu'ud, right? Sajda, everything else. When we fast, we utilize our body. When we do hajj and umrah, what do we do? Again, we utilize our body. Our body is important for the purpose of ibadah. Without our body, we cannot perform the ibadah. And food, it contributes to the makeup of our body. That's why it has to remain halal. It has to be halal. Because if it is haram, wa'ayyadu billah, then the body will become najis, impure. If not impure technically, but you know, it is impure. And it will have consequences, as we have seen, as Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned, that if a person eats haram, his body parts will disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, wal'iyadu billah. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran has commanded Anbiya alayhi wasalam to eat halal. Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded the common believers to eat halal. Allah Azza wa Jal has made impure things haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has connected halal and amal salih together. Kulu min at-tayyibati wa amalu saliha. Eat what is pure and do the good things. You eat pure, inshallah you will do the right things. Right? What goes in comes out. If halal goes in, inshallah halal will also come out. God forbid, if a person does not care and haram goes inside, what can we expect? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he connected halal with our identity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he connected zabiha with our identity as Muslims. Man salla salatana wa saqbala qiblatana wa akala zabihatana. Fadhalika al-Muslim, alladhi lahu zimmatullahi wa zimmatu rasulihi. Aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever prays, our prayer. Our prayer is important. A person just prays in any manner, is that acceptable? A person does some stretches in the morning and says, this is my prayer. Is he Muslim? Somebody does some jumping up and down and says, my prayer. Is that acceptable in Islam? It could be his prayer, but not our prayer. وَاسْتَقْبَلَ قِبْلَةَنَا And he has to face our qibla. Without facing our qibla, he is not Muslim. Without facing the qibla of Muslims, he is not Muslim. The same also applies to eating our zabiha. وَأَكَلَ ذَبِيحَتَنَا He who eats our zabiha. Our zabiha. Zabiha of Muslims. Zabiha of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zabiha of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zabiha of the Muslims throughout the generations. How Muslims used to do zabiha 500 years ago, 800 years ago, 1000 years ago, it has to be as it is in order to claim Islam. If a person performs zabiha in any manner and says, this is zabiha according to me, okay, this could be zabiha according to you, but this is not zabiha according to Quran. This is not zabiha according to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not zabiha according to Muslims. The matters of halal, matters of haram are very serious, and we need to do lot of mudakara. Unfortunately, this subject is taken for granted. We assume that we understand. We assume that we know. Right? We assume that it's simple. Everybody knows what is halal, everybody knows what is haram. And because of that, anybody can make any judgment,
anybody can make any assumption, and anybody can jump to any conclusion. It is an important subject in the books of fiqh. You open any book of fiqh in any madhab, Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, any madhab, even Zahiri madhab. You open any book of fiqh, the way you will have chapter of salah, chapter of fasting, chapter of nikah, chapter of this, chapter of that. You will also find chapter about hunting and zabayah. Kitabu Sayyidi wa Zabayah. In fact, it is called book. It is not called chapter. Book of hunting and book of zabiha. There are so many rules and regulations, like how we have rules and regulations for salah, fasting, hajj, right? We also have rules and regulations for hunting and also for zabiha. Obviously, this session is to give us some basics of this, so that, you know, we can make ourselves familiar. And whenever we have any doubt, whenever we have any questions, Alhamdulillah, we are very fortunate to have Sharia board here. And we have, mashallah, group of ulama who are well experienced and who are serving the Muslim community for more than, 30 years in all over the U.S., and also in other countries as well. So we are very, very lucky and very fortunate. May Allah give us tawfiq to do shukr, and may Allah give us tawfiq to take advantage of this benefit. So let's go through some basics. Halal, we already know. Halal means lawful, what is permissible. Haram, what Allah has prohibited. Dhabh. Dhabh is the act of slaughtering. And zabiha is the animal that has been slaughtered. Zabiha is the animal that has been slaughtered properly according to Sharia. The animal that has been slaughtered according to Sharia is Zabiha. Not any animal. Not any animal. Therefore, there is no difference between halal and Zabiha. If an animal has not been slaughtered and cannot be called Zabiha, it cannot be called halal. If something cannot be called zabiha, it also cannot be called halal. Unfortunately, we have a lot of confusion. Some people think that there are two tiers of halal, or there are two levels of halal. There is simple basic halal, and there is upgraded halal, which is zabiha. This is wrong, and this is a very big mistake, and a major confusion many people have. What is halal is zabiha, and what is zabiha is halal. There are no two tiers of halal. There are no two grades of halal as such. Among the people have so many, confusions regarding halal and regarding haram. So that's why we need to look at these things. Allah Azza wa Jal has made certain animals halal, like birds, some birds like chicken, hens are halal. Goat, lamb, beef is halal, etc. However, it does not mean that it is halal in any manner. It is halal anyhow, somehow. It is halal when you follow the procedure. It is halal when you follow the rules. Without following the rules, it is not halal. For example, chicken is halal. Is that right? Say yes. Yes. You bring the chicken alive, and by the time it comes home, it dies. Can you eat that chicken? Why not? Well, chicken is halal. Well, chicken is halal when you follow the rules. Dead animal is not halal. For example, two animals, they fight together, and the animal dies. Well, two goats, they fight each other and they die. Can we eat that goat? I'll give you 50% discount. Take it for 40% of the price. Even if you get it for free, it's not halal. It is maita. And maita is haram. One of our brothers who also, mashallah, participates in these presentations, he gives very example. and I find it very easy to understand and easy to explain. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about the women whom we can marry and the women whom we cannot marry. Obviously, those who are already married, that's fine. But those who are not married, this is helpful for them. Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in Surah Nisa, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ, that your mother is haram, meaning a person cannot get married to his mother. Right? Your sister is haram, a person cannot get married to his sister. Aunties, they are haram. A person can never ever get married to his auntie from both mother's side and father's side, etc. After mentioning these categories of people whom we are not allowed to get married to, Allah Azza wa Jalla then mentioned, وَوْحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ, other than these women are halal. Other than these women, they are halal. Now, what does it mean? Does it mean any woman who is not my mother, who is not my sister, who is not this, who is not this, who is not this, is halal? Just like that? If I see outside a woman, right? Can I say, well, you're halal for me? No. I'm halal for you? No. She is halal if she is not under that category, provided that you follow the rules. What is the rule? Well, you do the nikah. You do the nikah, proper nikah, with all the conditions and terms. You give mahar. You have the consent of the wali. You declare the nikah. Do the nikah openly. And let the people know that you are married, etc. Without marriage, a woman is not halal. Likewise, an animal without the act of dhabh is not halal. It is halal potentially. Like a woman is potentially halal. Meaning you do the nikah, she will become halal. Without nikah, she is not halal. Likewise, other animals which are allowed, they are potentially halal. I hope that I have clarified. One of the important things we need to remember, which is very key to the conversation today, is the rule that is agreed by ulama and that is clearly mentioned in the books of fiqh. Al-aslu fil ashiyai al-ibaha wa fil luhumi al-hurma. By default, all things are permissible unless proven otherwise. MashaAllah, we have, you know, carpet which was changed recently. Now, we have red carpet. Do we have to have red carpet? No. We can have red carpet. Actually, we can have, you know, blue carpet. You can have white carpet. Al-aslu fil ashiyai al-ibaha. By default, all things are permissible. Unless proven otherwise. If we have an ayah in the Quran or a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you are not allowed to do this, well, we will stop. Otherwise, it is permissible. For example, for men, we are not allowed to wear red dress because that is mentioned. Red color for men is prohibited. For example, gold is prohibited for men. Pure silk, original pure silk, is also prohibited for men. Other than that, you wear cotton, you wear nylon, you know, you wear half cotton, half nylon, half this, half that. Well, that's the option you have. This is the rule regarding anything except meat. With regards to meat, the default ruling is impermissibility. Meat by default is haram. Any meat, anywhere you see, you find, by default it is haram. Whether it is fast food, slow food, fast restaurant, slow restaurant, any food, anywhere, by default is haram. Unless proven otherwise, unless you know for sure it is halal, it is haram. This is important for us to understand, because many people, they assume, no, it should be halal. It must be halal. You know, if it says halal, it must be halal. We will see that, inshallah, later on, the reality of the halal labeling in this country and also in many countries. As we have already seen, maita is haram. What is maita? Imam Abu Bakr, rahimahullah, he mentioned, al-maitatu fi shar'i ismun lil-hayawan al-mayyiti ghayri al-mudhakka. In Islamic law, a dead animal refers to an animal that has died without being properly slaughtered. Any animal that dies without being properly slaughtered is maita. Any animal that dies without being properly slaughtered is maita. Now, why is it important to know? It is important to know this because Allah Azza wa Jal in the Surah Al-Ma'idah, when he mentioned that, you know, blood, maita is haram for you, blood is haram for you, khinzir, swine, pig is haram for you, etc. The first thing Allah mentioned is maita. Khinzir, pork, in the Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the third place. We all know khinzir is haram, right? And we all very, we are all very much careful about pork and khinzir and byproducts of khinzir. May Allah protect us. But the way khinzir is haram, maita is also haram. Now, what makes khinzir haram? What makes khinzir haram? The command of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? It is simply haram because Allah commanded that it is haram. Khalas, that's it. So the way Allah commanded khinzir haram, Allah also has commanded maita to be haram. This can either mean an animal that dies naturally without any apparent cause related to human action. You know, animals die naturally, is maita. Or it may result from human activity if the animal was not slaughtered in accordance with the prescribed methods. If an animal dies and a human causes that animal to die, but that animal died without being properly slaughtered, although somebody tried to slaughter that animal, still it is maita. This is what Imam, the famous Mufassir of the Quran, Imam Jassas, rahimahullah, he has mentioned in his book called Ahkamul Quran. Anybody can check. What is the proper method of slaughtering? Very simple. You can explain this to a child who is 6 years old, who is 7 years old. You can explain this very easily to anybody who wants to understand. There are three conditions for something to be dhabiha. Any absence of any condition makes it maita. If you have all these three conditions put together, it is dhabiha. Absence of any of them makes it maita. The number one, the butcher, the person who is slaughtering, must be a Muslim or believing Ahlul Kitab, the followers of Musa alayhi salam, the followers of Isa alayhi salam. If he is a truly believer, right? Number two, tasmiyah yani mentioning the name of Allah Azza wa Jal verbally at the time of each slaughter. Every animal that is killed, it has to be killed by the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not the lot, not the session. Every single individual animal must be slaughtered with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Anybody has done the qurbani? Raise your hand if you have done the qurbani. When you go for qurbani, does everybody say Bismillah? Or do you say the first person who comes here, he says Bismillah? Everybody says Bismillah. Why everybody says Bismillah? Because each animal is separate. Each animal has separate life, separate ruh. Each animal is separate entity. All animals are not together as one animal. They are separate animals with separate entities. So Bismillah must be recited, name of Allah Azza wa Jalla must be recited on each animal. Two conditions. The person who is slaughtering must be a Muslim or believing Ahlul Kitab. Bismillah must be pronounced at every animal. Number three out of the four passageways of the animal's throat must be cut. We have a food pipe, we have a windpipe, and we have two blood veins. Right? So when the animal is slaughtered at the throat, at least three out of these four must be cut. Now, if all these conditions are met, it is Zabiha. If anyone is missing, it is Maita. For example, the person who is slaughtering, he is not Muslim. Neither he is a believing Ahlul Kitab. For example, say a Hindu does Zabiha. A Buddhist does Zabiha. For example, is that Zabiha? Well, he is not Muslim, he is not believing Ahlul Kitab. Right? Or an animal just dies hurting itself. Well, nobody has slaughtered that animal. Yeah? Or a machine kills animals. Is machine Muslim? Machine Ahlul Kitab? No. Tasmiyah, for example, a person is Muslim, but he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He just cuts the animals without saying Bismillah. Again, although he is Muslim, but he is not saying Bismillah, it will not be halal, it will not be Zabiha. He is killing, and perhaps he might be saying Bismillah as well, but let's say he is cutting from the throat, from the stomach, not from the throat. Will that be halal? It will not be halal, it will not be Zabiha. If all the Muslims follow these rules, it will become halal, it will become Zabiha, according to all the ulama. According to all the madhahib, all the schools of thought, Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, if Muslims agree to this, this will unite Muslims. And all the ulama will call it halal and all the ulama will call it Zabiha. We already have read the ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Hurrimat Alaykumul Maitah. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned about the Ahlul Kitab that طَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلُّ لَكُمْ وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلُّ لَهُمْ. The food, yani the slaughtered meat of Ahlul Kitab, is lawful for you. And your food, yani what you slaughter, is lawful for them. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahlul Kitab, they used to do dhabah with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. They used to do zabah the way we used to do zabah. Their method of zabiha at the time of the Prophet ﷺ was same. And that's why if we as Muslims do zabah, they used to eat. And if they used to slaughter, we used to eat. Now, do the Ahlul Kitab eat our zabiha? They don't eat our zabiha. And we cannot eat this zabiha because they do not follow our rules. If they follow our rules, most welcome. But in all the cases we know, they do not follow the rules. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, who is a famous companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who is the mufassir of the Quran, he is known for his tafsir of the Quran, he explained the ayah, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلُّ لَهُمْ حِلُّ لَكُمْ. He explained that ta'am means ذَبَائِح, their slaughtered animals. Why this is important to know? Because many people, they just read the translation. If you look at the translation of the ayah, the food of Ahlul Kitab is lawful for you. Right? If you just look at the translation, the food of Ahlul Kitab is lawful for you. So people assume that the food of Ahlul Kitab is lawful, so what they eat, we can eat. What they eat, we can eat. Now can we understand it this way? For example, Ahlul Kitab, nowadays, they eat pork. Can we eat pork? They eat dead animals. Can we eat dead animals? They drink alcohol. Can we drink alcohol? No. Ta'am does not mean food in the sense food, the way we broadly understand. Ta'am means slaughtered meat. So if Ahlul Kitab have slaughtered according to the rules, that then it is halal. We are not saying this. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is a great alim among the ulama of Sahaba, he is saying this, that ta'amuhum zaba'ihuhum. قال ابن عباس يعني ذبائحهم وهذا أمر مجمع عليه بين العلماء. علامة ابن كثير رحمة الله عليه, who has famous tafsir, he says that this is agreed upon all the ulama. This is agreed upon by all the ulama. These are lawful for Muslims because they consider slaughtered animals for anyone other than Allah as unlawful. So they used to believe at that time that if an animal is slaughtered for anybody else other than Allah, it is not halal. But do they believe that now? Now, the food of Ahlul Kitab, yani zabayih Ahlul Kitab, the slaughtered animals of Ahlul Kitab, halal. But does that mean without conditions? Zabiha of Muslim is halal without condition? Or are there any conditions? There are conditions. We have seen that a Muslim has to say Bismillah. A Muslim has to cut at least 3 out of the 4 passageways. If you have conditions for Muslims, how can you not have conditions for Ahlul Kitab? The same conditions that are stipulated for a Muslim according to the Quran and Sunnah are also stipulated for the people of the book. The conditions, just to repeat and summarize, tasmiyah, saying Allah's name, on each animal. You see, taking the name of Allah Azza wa Jal is so important that it is repeated more than once in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal has repeated this several times in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-An'am, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ. Do not eat from that which Allah's name has not been mentioned upon. And indeed it is a sin. Right? Again Allah says, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Yes, if the name of Allah has been mentioned upon it, then eat. إِن كُنْتُمْ بِآيَاتِ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you believe in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a famous hadith of Adi ibn Hatim radiyallahu an. He says that I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about a dog, that if I send my dog for hunting and my dog has actually hunted an animal, when I went to catch and get the animal, I find another dog there. Right? I send my dog with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal to hunt the animal. When I actually get nearer, because you know you're far away from the target, so when you go there, you find another dog. So he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when I go there, I find another dog, can I eat? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you cannot eat. فَلَا تَأْكُلْ. Why not? فَإِنَّمَا سَمَّيْتَ عَلَىٰ كَلْبِكَ وَلَمْ تُسَمِّ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ. Because you have taken the name of Allah upon your dog. You know, when you sent your dog, you have sent with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. But the other person has not sent his dog. And it is very possible that the other person's dog has hunted the animal. Now, animal hunting is, you know, matter where you have less choice. Right? You have less control over the animal. But still, you have to, for example, if you are hunting the animal with an arrow, you have to send the arrow with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you're hunting with a dog, you have to send the dog with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. What about the animal upon whom you have full control? You are slaughtering animal, you know, be it a chicken or a goat or a lamb or a beef, you have full control over that animal. and you miss the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, can we eat? Sayyidina Ata Rahimahullah, he says, لا ذبح ولا نحر إلا في المذبح والمنحر. There is no proper slaughtering of animals or sacrificing except at the designated place for slaughtering or sacrificing. So there is a designated place for slaughtering and also for sacrificing. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, الزَّكَاةُ فِي الْحَلْقِ وَاللَّبَّةِ. The act of slaughtering is to be done at the throat or the upper part of the chest. And this is across the board. This applies to all the animals. This is a diagram showing the, you know, passageways for the blood, for the food, and also for the air. So at least three out of these four must be slaughtered. Again, you can see. Again, what I have mentioned is we have the quotation of Ibn Juraj rahimahullah, Ata rahimahullah, and we have clear references. Food of Ahlul Kitab, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran that it is halal. وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ. But as I have mentioned, it is not unconditional. It has conditions. Because there are conditions for Muslims, so there are conditions for sure also for Ahlul Kitab. As I have mentioned, if a Christian, for example, offers pork, we cannot eat. Right? If a person, you know, for example, from Ahlul Kitab, they marry without witnesses, can we also marry without witnesses? No. If they marry those whom we cannot get married to, can we get married to them? No. The same also applies for the slaughtered meat. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was asked about the dhabaih of the Christians of the Arabs. The Christian Arabs, if they do dhabiha, can we eat? Now, Sayyidina Ali lived when? Last century? 400 years ago? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he is the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? So, soon after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how things changed? He was asked, so he mentioned, لا تأكل ذبائحهم, do not eat what they slaughter. Why not? And he gave explanation, because they have not held on to anything of the religion. There is no religion left for them except drinking. Even now there are lots of people who are Christians by culture. There are people who are Christians by inheritance. They are not Christians because they believe in the religion or because they believe in Isa alayhi salam. No. So if a person is not a Christian, even though he might celebrate Christmas, his dhabiha cannot be halal. If a person from Ahlul Kitab is atheist, there are lots of people who are atheist. They might celebrate Christmas, but they are atheists. They do not believe in God at all. Can their dhabiha be halal? No. Even if they follow all the rules. There was a great alim in Pakistan, Hazrat Mufti Rashid Sahab, rahmatullahi alayh, and he has compiled a famous fatwa called Ahsanul Fatwa. So he actually wrote letter to many Christian seminaries, you know, where you have Christian scholars and people who do research of the religion, etc., experts in their field of knowledge. He wrote a letter to them, and actually he also wrote to Vatican, and he wanted to know if the Christians of our time, they follow any dietary laws with regards to animal slaughter. all of them responded in the negative. The Christians of today, they do not have any dietary laws with regards to animal slaughter. And they said that we don't have any rules for sacrificing an animal. So the Christians as of today do not follow any rules whatsoever. Anybody who assumes, anybody who just thinks, oh, it is Ahlul Kitab, Christians, the majority of the people in this country are Christians. We are, you know, this is a Christian nation, Christian country, so it must be halal. This is very much against the reality, because Mufti Rashid Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, he wrote letters to have first-hand information so that we can base our judgment. And the ulama, when they come to a conclusion, they don't come to a conclusion just because it came to their mind. You know, have a cup of tea and then just say, this is halal, this is haram. No. A alim will not do that. Ulama, when they come to a conclusion, they come to a conclusion after a study, after research, after thorough examination of all the resources and the realities on the ground. Recently, one of our brothers, he also contacted some Christian priests. So, he got a reply saying, Catholic Christians and Christians in general do not have religious restrictions and on slaughter, how food is to be processed. This is a recent interaction we had. And we have many more examples of this. A very important matter we would like to discuss tonight is about kosher. Has anybody heard somebody saying kosher is halal? Raise your hand. Yes. People say, if it says kosher, it must be halal, right? If it says kosher, it must be halal. Some people told me that. Some people, you know, in shopping malls, in grocery stores, when you're looking carefully, they told me that if it says kosher, it is halal. So let's see if the kosher is halal. Before we decide whether the kosher is halal or not, we just need to see what are the conditions for making something halal. Can I have a young child just repeating the conditions? Can somebody from those who are under 15 repeat the conditions? Come on, don't be shy. What are the conditions for making it zabiha? Yes? Okay, saying the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla on each animal, that's very important. Yes, so we say Bismillah, what else? Very good. The person should be Muslim or believing Ahlul Kitab, right? So the same applies to the kosher as well. If kosher meets this criteria, well, fair enough, and it can be halal. If it does not meet this criteria, they might call it kosher, but can we call it halal? Can we call it zabiha? We are going to call it, and the Quran calls it maita. Now, let's see how they slaughter their animals nowadays. This is a reference from their book. This is the method they follow. And let's see if this method, you know, is according to our criteria. Before performing ritual slaughter, it is necessary to recite the blessing. What is the blessing? They say, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and has commanded us concerning ritual slaughter. So basically, this is what they say, right? Somehow, if somebody says, well, there is mention of God, right? Do they say, even if somebody accepts this, do they say this on each animal? However, if the blessing is not recited, it is still permitted to eat that meat. So kosher can be valid without saying this. It can be kosher even without saying this. Another problem. This blessing covers all the animals slaughtered in that period. So all the animals, for example, say in the morning slot, afternoon slot, all day slot, right? You are slaughtering 399 chickens, 399 goats. All of them can become kosher with one blessing. Now in Islam, can we have 399 qurbani with one bismillah? Or bismillah is said on each animal. Bismillah is said on each animal. Even if somebody accepts this, then that person can accept this for the first animal of the day. When you go and see the kosher meat, can you figure out that this meat is of the animal that was slaughtered first on the day? Is there any possibility of finding out that? The Jews of today take the name of God only on the first animal every day. But they do not take the name of God on the rest of the animals. Therefore, kosher is not halal. Remember this. Kosher is not halal. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah An'am, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٍ. Eat not of meats on which Allah's name has not been pronounced, and surely it is a sin. Now what is happening, that the majority of the animals that are slaughtered, because the majority of the people, they are not Muslims, right? The majority of the people in this country, are they Muslims? No. Muslims are a very small minority, you know, perhaps 2%. So more than 95% of the people, they are not Muslim. So the meat that we find is there without bismillah at all. And even what is called halal, what is labeled as halal, is actually, there is a bismillah recorded and repeated. Bismillah repeated through the voice recorder. Now, can we consider the voice recorder to be Muslim? Is the voice recorder, is a machine that is playing the audio, let's say it's a laptop or a mobile phone that is playing the audio, is that machine killing the animal? Is not Muslim, is not anything, right? Bismillah written on the blade or on a nearby wall. So Bismillah write on the knife. If you have a non-Muslim person and he does slaughter with this knife, can this be halal? Or you have Bismillah written on the wall. A person stands near the machine and reads Bismillah. So basically it is the machine which is killing the animals. And there is a person standing there. And he is saying Bismillah, 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 Bismillah. Now, this person who is saying Bismillah, 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 if he is saying, does he have any involvement in the act of slaughtering? Can we say that he has slaughtered the animals? Can he go home and say to his wife, today I have killed 100,000 birds. I am very tired, you know, don't give me any headache because I am already tired because I have killed 100,000 chicken today. Can you say that? His wife knows the reality. You have done nothing. Right? A person reads Bismillah while turning the machine on. So there is a machine and there is a button there, and the person, first thing in the morning, he turned the machine on and he said Bismillah. And the machine now is running by itself. Even if you accept this, the first chicken of the day might be accepted if somebody accepts it, right? Because he turned the machine on with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. What about 99,999 chickens which are slaughtered on that day? Can they be halal? Kosher does not necessarily mean zabiha. We have already said that. Kosher stamps have varying degrees. There is doubt in this as well. For a Muslim to consume meat, it must meet zabiha requirements. you know, in fact, you can have kosher wines. Anybody has seen that? Kosher wine? So can the kosher wine be halal? So kosher is a term. They have their own standard. They have their own criteria. So that is for them. But that is not for us. We cannot say it is halal. Is that clear? So there is a consensus that throughout the Quran, the food of Ahlul Kitab is permissible to consume. However, their food is an exception to the rule and not the general one. It is only because of their conditions that conform to Islamic practices. Allah Azza wa Jalla allowed for us to eat from the food of the people of the book. So if they follow the conditions, that's fine. If they do not follow the conditions, it cannot be halal. There is also a misconception. Some people say that we should not make it very difficult. You know, we should not make it complicated. Keep it simple. Islam is simple religion, right? Islam is simple religion. That's true. That is true. But the judgment you are concluding from that, well, you have to look on the judgment as well. So some people, they say, regardless of how it is slaughtered, just say Bismillah at the time of eating and say Bismillah. Now, regardless of how it is slaughtered, can it become halal at the time of eating? Well, you can eat if it is halal. And how it can become halal? We have seen the rules to follow, be saying Bismillah, and the person must be Muslim or believing Ahlul Kitab, and 3 out of the 4 passageways must be cut. If it is not halal in the origin, can it become halal once it comes in front of you? What is not halal, can it convert into halal just by saying Bismillah at the time of eating? No. These are two different things. Saying Bismillah at the time of eating is sunnah. Saying Bismillah when you eat is the tradition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You say Bismillah, you will have barakah. Allah will be happy, right? Because you have followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But let's say, for example, somebody ate food and did not say Bismillah. Can we say that he ate haram? You know, you have water, you did not say Bismillah. You have tea, you did not say Bismillah. You have meat and you did not say Bismillah. Can we say that he eaten haram food? No, you cannot say that. Because he did not say Bismillah at the time of eating. But if you miss Bismillah when it is slaughtered, what happens? Well, it becomes haram. It becomes maitah. And maitah is haram. It becomes maitah and maitah. So these are two different things. There is this confusion because of misinterpreting and misunderstanding of the hadith which is in Bukhari. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that some people came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that some Bedouins, they bring meat to us. We do not know whether the name of Allah has been mentioned upon it or not. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, well, you say the name of Allah and eat. Sayyidah Aisha says, وَكَانُوا حَدِيثِ عَهْدٍ بِالْكُفْرِ. And these people, they just recently converted to Islam from kufr. So some people say, they just look at this phrase. You say, mention Allah's name on it and eat. And they say that regardless of how it was slaughtered, we can just say the name of Allah Azza wa Jal and eat. If we just say the name of Allah and eat, why Allah mentioned so many times in the Quran, لَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, which is a clear commandment from Allah Azza wa Jal. Do not eat from that which upon Allah's name has not been mentioned. كُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكْرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, eat from that which Allah's name has been mentioned. Why Allah Azza wa Jal has repeated so many times in the Quran? And why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught the manners and the rules of Zabiha if there is no need? The point that is mentioned in this hadith is that some people, they were new into Islam. But these new Muslims, who are they? They are companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? They are new Muslims, but they are also Sahaba. So the Sahaba living in Medina are asking about Sahaba living in desert, living outside Medina, companions asking about other companions living outside Medina, that these people, they are new Muslims, and they bring the meat to us. And we are not sure whether they have mentioned the name of Allah or not. Can we eat? Now the Prophet ﷺ, he is explaining that you should not have doubt about your own brothers who are companions like you. They are Muslims and you are also Muslims. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would not have gap between their ilm and their amal, between their knowledge and their practice. We know things, but do we practice everything we know? We know, but we say, no, it's okay. Allah will forgive. Right? How many people know many things to be clearly wrong, and still they don't care, and they assume that Allah will forgive. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, if they know something, they will act upon it. Whether they are new Muslims or they are old Muslims, there is no difference among the Sahaba. Even a person who has accepted Islam very recently will just sacrifice his life for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will sacrifice their life. Forget about, you know, avoiding haram and all of this. They can sacrifice their life. This was the strength of their iman. This was the strength of their yaqeen. So Rasulullah is saying they are companions like you, they are Muslims like you, so you should not have doubt about them. They must have done their duty of saying Bismillah, and now when it is time to eat, you do your work. What is our work when we eat? Say Bismillah. So this is the meaning of the hadith. But the hadith does not mean that, you know, neglect saying Bismillah when it is time for slaughter. And if it is haram, it becomes halal by saying Bismillah. Haram can become halal. Haram cannot become halal. Another important issue, inshallah, we will address tonight. And I think, you know, because of the conversation we already had, by now it has become clear that the chicken that is slaughtered by machine is not halal. Why not halal? Is machine Muslim? Is machine believing Ahlul Kitab? Is the machine saying Bismillah? All three conditions are missed. Even if you have one condition missing, it becomes maita. What about three conditions missing? The majority of the chicken in this country is machine slaughtered. Majority. More than 95%, because the majority of the people, they are not Muslim. So for them, what is quick, what is more profitable, what is more, you know, convenient, well, is more acceptable. But can we just look for convenience as Muslims? Can we just look for profit as Muslims? Or do we have to see whether it meets the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal or not? More than 100 chicken are cut per minute. More than 100 chickens are moving per minute. Even if somebody is standing nearby, can he say Bismillah? Even if somebody is standing nearby, can he say Bismillah with that fast moving? Reading Bismillah on each and every single animal is essential requirement of the viha, without which the animal is not considered halal. The act of slaughtering cannot be attributed to the one who turns the machine on. The person who turns the machine on, he cannot say, I am slaughtering these birds. Or stands near it. The person who is standing there, he cannot say that I am the one who is causing these animals to die. He is not causing them to die. Because his physical strength nor his intention is used in the direct slaughtering of the birds. His intention is not there. Intention, yani intention to do the amal. Not like wish to do something. Neither his physical strength is used. Electricity acts as a barrier between him and the actual movement of the blade. What is moving the blade is not him. This person is not moving the blade. What is it that is moving the blade? Electricity, right? His strength has no involvement whatsoever. So the one who turns it on will be considered as musabbib or a catalyst, one who has caused the action. The veins are sometimes not severed, so when these animals are slaughtered by the machine, sometimes some veins may not be cut properly. Sometimes even they are cut through the stomach. Since the rolling in the meat is being haram by default, we cannot be certain which chicken was cut and which was not. So consuming any chicken will be impermissible due to lack of certainty of a proper cut. This is a Saudi scholar, because some people, they think that if they say something, so Sheikh is saying that if you are in the country of Kufar, eat fish. You don't have to eat meat to survive. You can survive without eating meat. You know, if you don't eat, if you don't find halal. But alhamdulillah, because of the barakah of Hazrat Mufti Sahib Damat Barakatum, who is the founder of Rahmat Alam, and also who is the founder of the Sharia Board and HMS, Allah Azza wa Jal has mercy on us that alhamdulillah now, all over the US, you can easily find halal. If you want to find halal, all over the US, you can find halal. Alhamdulillah, we have active work in 25 states. The work of HMS, alhamdulillah, in 25 states. And we also have work in, you know, Canada, in three provinces in Canada as well. And alhamdulillah, we also have collaboration with Australia and New Zealand as well. This is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let's say, if this was not there, then would that have mean that we can eat haram? A Muslim cannot eat haram. But Sheikh, you know, Sheikh Jadi Makki, he is talking about the meat that is imported in Arab countries. That is imported in chicken, that is imported in Arab countries, that the vast majority of it is machine slaughtered. Very cheap, very, very fat. You know, if it is local, again, if it is local and if they follow the rules, just because it is local, it doesn't make it halal. Now, who is cutting here? It is being cut by the machine, right? 100 chicken per minute. In a day, some plants, they produce more than 100,000. And we have been, and we go many times, and we see more than 100,000. Can you see the blade moving? Is the blade cutting or a Muslim cutting there? Or a Christian person who believes in Allah or Ahlul Kitab? Machine is not Ahlul Kitab. Machine is nobody. Sometimes the necks, stomachs, even heads are cut off. Can you see the stomach here right in the middle? Does it look halal? This is important issue about the slaughter of beef. Many people just assume that beef, there should be no problem with beef, there should be no complication with beef, because big animals, they are not slaughtered by machine, they are slaughtered by hand. That is true, big animals, they are slaughtered by hand. But unfortunately, there is a problem we are facing, nowadays is the problem of the vertical slaughter. So basically what is happening, that rather than cutting the throat and cutting three passageways out of the four, they stab in many occasions the heart so that the blood comes out very fast. Why they stab the heart? So that the animal can die very quickly. And the more animals you can do on a day, the more money you can make. Right? If you do so many animals more in a day, in a week, they are multiplied. And if you can do so many more in a week, over a year, there are so many. So the profit margin and the profit difference goes into millions. Millions of dollars. That's why, unfortunately, this is happening. And we have seen this. Myself, I have seen Mufti Abbas Sahab. He also has seen other ulama of Sharia board. They also have seen how they stab the heart. And then how they open the chest. Rather than cutting the throat, the chest is being opened. And sometimes after opening the chest, then from inside they try to cut the veins from inside. The animal is already dead by that time. So the condition of Zabiha is that at least three veins out of the four must be cut. Even in Nahar. Nahar yani the method that is used for camels. The veins are not severed in the vertical cut. Therefore, it is not allowed to consume beef which is vertically slaughtered. Unfortunately, lot of beef is sold in the name of halal. Lot of beef. We have visited a plant where about 3,000 cows are slaughtered per day. 3,000, you know, cows are slaughtered every day. Unfortunately, this is how it is. And obviously, the ulama, they say that if you change the method, if you apply the proper method, inshallah, we can give you a certificate. But you do the way you like, and you call it halal, this is not acceptable. A lot of beef sold as halal in America, which is also exported internationally to many Muslim countries. A lot of beef is exported to Egypt, to Gulf countries, unfortunately, is vertically slaughtered. Many Muslims believe that the vertical cut is the same as Nahar, which is a method used to slaughter camels. But this is a false assumption. Nahar is something else, and vertical cut is something else. Now, we have a small video here, very graphic. So, if you have small children, please make them face towards you. If you don't want your children to see this video, let them, rather than facing the presentation, let them face towards you. Yeah? So, young children, you can turn around. Just turn around. Although, mashallah, young children now, they are fearless because they play computer games, right? Everything. But still, or just look down. If you are a young child, just look down or look towards your mom or look towards your dad. You can see how the chest is being opened. Rather than cutting the throat and severing the veins, the chest is being opened vertically. We already have quoted the qawl of Atar rahimahullah, la dhabha wa la nahra illa fil madhbahi wal manhar. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, as it is mentioned in Bukhari, al-zakatu fil halqi wal labba. Another major issue we are facing, and unfortunately it is increasing, and inshallah I will try to conclude as soon as possible, so that we just have a last presentation of tonight. Another major issue is gas stunning. Basically, you know, because the food is now industrialized, right? The more food you can produce, the more profit you can make. So if you can produce so much in a day, you can produce so much in a week, so much in a year. So the more you can produce, in a year you can have so much profit. So even the machine slaughtered chicken is considered very slow process. You know, it is taking time. So, and it takes time for the chickens to die. So now they have invented a method of gas stunning. So basically the birds, they are brought in a truck and they are dumped into a chamber, right? And then the chamber is closed completely. Then you release the gas. And because of this gas, the birds die very quickly. You will see that in a minute. And khalas, once the birds have died, again they will hang. And just, you know, to make sure that if there is any blood, that blood comes out, they will slaughter. Now, can the gas stunned chicken meet, or does it meet any halal requirements? Does it meet any zabiha requirement? The animal has died without being slaughtered. The animal will be in an irreversible stunning situation. So irreversible meaning, if you take the bird out and if you leave it in the open air, khalas, the bird cannot come back to life. It cannot move again because the brain has died, finished. There is no bismillah. There is no person who is slaughtering the animal and no veins are cut. So gas stunned chicken is not halal. Even if you write halal 1,000 times on the box, you make halal logo, how many times? 1,000 times, it is not halal. Unfortunately, there are big brands that have already moved to gas stunning in Europe, in America, and in Canada as well. In Canada, now it is booming. If you know any people in Canada, let them know this, that there is this industry of gas stunning is increasing in Canada, and unfortunately this is happening. Washington Post says this could be the start to a whole new world of chicken. Purdue, which processes nearly 700 million chickens every year at nearly 3,000 farms, announced Monday that it will begin killing chickens using carbon dioxide or argon gas so they can avoid being hung upside down, with an estimated revenue of $6 billion. Now we are talking real numbers, right? According to IBS World, they are the first major company to announce that it will use this procedure, which is called controlled atmosphere stunning. Controlled atmosphere stunning. Nice name. Very scientific. Scientific name. Right? Now, the good thing is that these people, they make it clear. The problem is with our people, not with these people. Our people, they will present anything and they will call it halal. These people, they are telling you, this is how we do. You want to take it, you take it. You don't want to take it, don't take it. They are not calling it halal, they are not calling it anything. They are just calling it as it is. We have controlled atmosphere stunning and CO2 stunning. Well, this is what we do. Hundley said Tyson Foods, Pilgrim's Pride and other major poultry companies will certainly look into some of Purdue's new initiatives, but it may be years until they adapt them. And many of them they have already adapted. In two poultry production facilities in the US and all production facilities in Europe, controlled atmospheric stunning methods are used. So in Europe now they are working on regulations as well, so that anything else can become very difficult. In this process, birds are insensible before shackling occurs. Now this is what the pilgrims have said, right? But can you just look at the label? The box says pilgrims, at the same time it says halal. Can you see halal on the label? And even you have Arabic writing, because Arabic writing makes it halal. Is that right? You write in Arabic, it makes it halal. No, halal what Allah has made halal. Halal what Allah made halal. Anybody has the right to make it halal? So you can see how the birds are placed into the chamber. Now they are moving, right? Flapping. And slowly, slowly, khalas. Virtually, no flapping. Even the breathing is less and less. They are in very much deep, unconscious situation. Now, it is the final stage, irreversible stunning. Now it comes out of the chamber and it is dumped here. And then it is going to go to the packaging. Now, I ask you, my dear Muslim brothers, does it look halal to you? As early as 2010, the bird harvest and processing industry in the US started gas stunning. Allahu Akbar. So, just to conclude the conversation, when you see halal, does it really mean halal? Can we just accept it as halal? If you have a Muslim country and they follow the rules of Islam and they monitor the rules of Islam and they criminalize cheating and mislabeling and they actually penalize people who do that, then yes. But in this country, is there any restriction for placing label, halal label? There is a halal definition you have. You can make anything halal. And there is a halal definition I have. I call it halal and you call it halal. Something is halal for me, something is halal for you. So the government here does not interfere in religious matters. Everybody has religious freedom. Anybody can do anything according to their own beliefs and according to their own values. So nowadays, when you see halal, actually you have five types of halal. Five types of halal. Kosher, labeled as halal. So it says halal nice and clear, but actually it is kosher. Because people assume that kosher is halal. Food of the people of the book. But the people of the book today, they do not follow our rules. Right? Machine slaughtered chicken, we have already seen how it happens. Vertically slaughtered beef, we have seen that. It is vertically slaughtered beef because brother, qeema is nice. Beef ka jo qeema hota bahut, it's nice and clean, right? Halal meat, which meets all the criteria for dhabiha. So there is real halal meat, which meets the criteria of dhabiha. But then you have other four types of halal, unfortunately. This brings to, you know, to conclusion of this presentation, that it is important for us as Muslims to eat halal and to avoid haram. This is a personal responsibility and this is also collective responsibility of Muslims. As Muslims, Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us that we should command good and we should forbid evil, right? يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ Munkar, the Muslims, they command good and they forbid evil. So how this collective responsibility can happen? Alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with the ni'mah of Sharia Board and HMS. And HMS is doing that responsibility on behalf of the Muslims. So inshallah, we will have a short, brief presentation about the work of the HMS.
آج کے آخری پارٹ کے لیے مولانا عبدالحق مسوار صاحب کو دعوت دیتا ہوں جو ابھی شعبہ دارالافتاء میں تعلیم بھی حاصل کر رہے ہیں دارالعلوم شکاگو کے اندر تو انشاءاللہ العزیز صرف 10 منٹ کے اندر یہ کنکلوژ کیا جائے گا آپ حضرات سے جس طریقے سے بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں اسی طرح بیٹھیں کیونکہ یہ اہم حصہ ہے فی الوقت جو ہے نا جو مارکیٹ میں جو حالات چل رہے ہیں اس اعتبار سے سمجھنے کی ضرورت ہے انشاءاللہ تعالی 10 منٹ میں یہ مکمل ہو جائے گا
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ I am also hungry, so I'll make this quick. The first thing we have to understand is that people, they are presenting things which are not halal, which are not dhabiha, as being halal and as being dhabiha. And they are doing this by changing the understanding of halal and dhabiha. What are they saying? We can see here. Some people are saying, for example, dhabiha does not mean hand slaughtered. Dhabiha is an Arabic word derived from the other word, dhabh. Yani simply meaning slaughtered with a sharp blade. The word dhabiha has no religious connotation and does not imply or indicate that something was hand slaughtered. But we have read the hadith, we have seen the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that dhabiha, eating dhabiha, man akala dhabihatana, eating dhabiha is a sign of Islam. So how can dhabiha, the word dhabiha, have no religious connotation? This is one of the things, and we will see many examples of these kinds of things. One of the things which is being presented as halal in the market is kosher. The Jewish people, they slaughter the animal in their way, as we have seen, and they eat the top half of the animal. They do not eat the bottom half. What do we do with the bottom half? We sell it to people who do eat it, Muslim people. And that bottom half is slaughtered in a kosher manner. And as we have seen, kosher is not dhabiha compliant. We have seen plants where the Jewish rabbi performs a slaughter while a Muslim man stands by saying Bismillah without being involved in the actual slaughter, yet it is supplied in the market as halal. Now, the person who says Bismillah has to be the person who is doing the slaughter. If a machine does the slaughter and the Muslim man says Bismillah, the animal is not halal. If a Jewish person is doing the slaughter, even if one Muslim person is slaughtering and another is saying Bismillah, the animal is not halal. We do not live in a Muslim majority population where it is undoubtedly true that every link in the chain of meat supply is Muslim. In fact, it is most likely that that a link is not Muslim. So anybody at any point in this chain can place a halal label on whatever they like and in the hopes that people will buy it. For example, to take this to the most absurd degree, we have pork. Pork is not halal, right? But yet we see we have this halal label on pork. Right there. And we have more. This is also pork. This is also pork. You can see pork here, and you can see halal here. And more. Pork here, halal here. Pork here, halal here. Now chicken. Chicken pilgrims. We've already seen that pilgrims, they were doing machine slaughtered when this interview was conducted, but now they're doing gas stunning. But anyway, gas stunning, machine slaughter, whatever it is, it's not halal. But what do they have up here in the label? Halal. We have young chicken, Georges. They do machine slaughter, as they have said themselves down here. But up here they say halal. They bless the blades. They bless the blades, they say Bismillah or whatever it is they say, and they blow it on the blade. Does that make it halal? What do we have here? We have all natural MJ. What do? They do machine slaughter. What do they say? They say halal. Who do we have? Amic Farms. What do? They do machine slaughter. What do they say? They say halal. Why do they do this? How much actual halal meat is there? Not very much. How many people want to eat halal meat? More than there is supply. If you have high demand and you have low supply, you can charge a high price. We have Purdue chicken. This is non-halal, official non-halal chicken, which is for $5.82 per pound. Then, what is it? The average price, sorry, I apologize. The average price is kind of small, but it is 0.97 cents per pound, dollars per pound. And here we have now halal chicken, and this is $1.39 a pound. 40 cents added just for a label. We have a chicken breast for $43, this is officially non-halal. And we have the same chicken, which is now halal, for $55. $10 added for a label. It should be clear regarding the meat which is labeled as halal that it is based mostly on trust, because the government does not get involved in these things. It does not go around verifying whether something is halal or not. And in business, especially in this country, especially in a non-Muslim environment, and unfortunately even in Muslim environments sometimes, deception is a normal business practice. And so you cannot trust the people who are putting those labels that they are actually making sure that the things which they are labeling are actually halal. And there are many places where this deception could happen. This deception could happen at a slaughterhouse. If the slaughterhouse is okay, this deception could happen somewhere else. It could happen at a distributor. It could happen as a supplier. It could happen at the restaurant. It could happen at the butcher. There are many, many links. Any weak link could allow haram into your stomach. Now, can you go, can any person here, random person, can they go and inspect every single link in this chain? Can they go to the slaughterhouse? Can they go to the distributor or the supplier or anywhere else? They cannot. Number one, they cannot go because it is too time consuming. Not everyone cannot go and make sure their meat is halal because it will take forever. And the second problem, the bigger problem, is that they do not have the legal right to inspect the business premises because the business has private property. You cannot go there without any right. What is the solution to this? The ulama and concerned consumers of halal throughout the world where Muslims live as a minority in the population here, Australia, the UK, Canada, etc., have formulated systems of monitoring to ensure what is labeled halal is truly halal. What happened? And this institution, HMS, is one of those institutions. This institution, HMS, is a branch of Sharia Board of America, which was founded in 1998 under the supervision of Hazrat Shah Mufti Muhammad Nawazur Rahman Sahib Dawud Barakatuhum Al-Aliya. It is based in Chicago with branches in multiple states. What does it do? This branch of Sharia Board, it provides the Muslim community with a free certification. We do not charge you, and we do not charge the suppliers or the slaughterhouses or the restaurants or anybody else. We do this for free as a service. What does it mean? The meat we certify, it is slaughtered by the hand of a Muslim. We make sure the slaughterers at the slaughterhouse are Muslims. They are saying Bismillah on each animal. We make sure they are doing this by monitoring them using an independent team of ulama who are unrelated to these businesses. We have a video here. How do I play the video? This is what HMS certified slaughter looks like. Unfortunately, due to the background noise, we cannot hear the Bismillah, but it is being said. Alright, that is what it means for meat. What does it mean for a restaurant? Ingredients of all products and menu items are checked so that there is nothing wrong with anything else in the meal. How do we make sure that the restaurants, the slaughterhouses, the certifiers, the suppliers, the distributors, they are doing what they're supposed to be doing? We make frequent, random, unannounced inspections. We do not tell you when we will come whenever we want. And we do not tell you what we're going to look at, we will look at whatever we want. And we will look at this several times, again and again. We do not trust. How do we do this? We have a legal monitoring agreement with the business. When they get a certification, they have to sign a piece of paper that says, we can come into your premises whenever we want and look at whatever we want. If they do not sign this, they do not get the certification. And if they sign it and refuse to let us in, then their certification goes away. And it's not just one person. There is a team of ulama testifies that a certified business is actually following the practices. We certify end to end. So if a restaurant is certified, that means a supplier is certified. If a supplier is certified, the distributor is certified. If the distributor is certified, that means the slaughterhouse where the meat is coming from, that's also certified. And this is a summary of all of these points. Again, we slaughter the slaughterhouse, we certify the slaughterhouse, the processor, the distributor, the retailer, the restaurant, every link in the chain is certified. How much does it cost? Absolutely free. We're not here to charge you for anything. We don't charge the restaurants anything. We don't charge the slaughterhouse anything. We do this as a service for the Muslim community. And you can see, once again, the policies are repeated here. Everything has to be slaughtered by Muslims. All ingredients are checked. You have, fresh meat and poultry is certified for grocery stores, and we have regular unannounced inspections. As of now, we have, this is an old graphic, we probably have more than this, but as of the time of making this graphic, we had 234 restaurants, 115 retailers and butchers, 107 slaughterhouses and processors certified across the United States, in 24 states and in 3 Canadian states. And you have a list of the states here. And for an updated list, you can visit the website, you can visit hmsusa.org or shariaboard.org. This is an image of the website. This is an image of of the HMS website, and this is an image of the Sharia Board website. There is a video? Oh. Jazakumullahu khairan for listening to the presentation.
ایک بات کا اس میں اضافہ کرنا چاہوں گا میں بہت سارے لوگ یہ کنفیوژن میں رہتے ہیں شریعہ بورڈ اگر کسی ریٹیلر کو یا شاپ کو سرٹیفکیٹ دیتا ہے تو اس کا مطلب یہ نہیں ہے کہ ہول ریٹیل شاپ پوری سرٹیفائڈ ہے. ہم صرف ذبیحہ کے متعلق ہی سرٹیفیکیشن دے رہے ہیں. بہت سارے لوگ یہ کرتے ہیں کہ وہاں پر جو باکسز ہوتے ہیں فریزر میں یا کولر میں, جیسے مثال کے طور پر الصفا کا چکن ہے, وہ ہمارا سرٹیفائڈ نہیں ہے. الیان ہمارا سرٹیفائڈ ہے, کریسنٹ ہمارا سرٹیفائڈ ہے, ٹرانسلوینیا ہمارا سرٹیفائڈ ہے. اسی طریقے سے میزبان پہلے سرٹیفائڈ تھا, وہ اس نے گڑبڑی کی, ہم نے اس کو ریووک کیا ہے. تو ہم جن چیزوں کی گارنٹی لے رہے ہیں یا جن چیزوں کو سرٹیفائڈ کرتے ہیں, خاص طور پر ریٹیل شاپ کے اندر, بچر شاپ کے اندر, وہ فریش مال کے متعلق ہے. لوگ اس میں غلط فہمی میں ہیں. بہت سارے لوگ فریش مال کے ساتھ ساتھ فردر پروسیس جو مال ہوتا ہے ڈبوں میں اس کو بھی سمجھ رہے ہیں. ڈبوں میں جو مال ہے وہ ہمارا اسپیسیفک ہے, وہ آپ ویب سائٹ کے اوپر جا کر کے دیکھ لے سکتے ہیں کہ کون سے پروڈکٹس شریا بورڈ کی جانب سے سرٹیفائڈ ہیں. الیان ہے, کریسنٹ ہے, ٹرانسلوینیا ہے, اور اسی طریقے سے امیر حلال ہے. تو جو مخصوص ہے وہی ہے. بہت سارے لوگ الصفا کے بارے میں یہی سوال کرتے رہتے ہیں, کیا وہ آپ کا سرٹیفائڈ ہے؟ ہمارا سرٹیفائڈ ابھی نہیں ہے. ہو سکتا ہے کہ آئندہ ہو جائے, کیونکہ ابھی تک تو ہمارا ان کے ساتھ اگریمنٹ نہیں ہوا ہے. تو یہ کلیئرفیکیشن ضروری تھا. آپ حضرات سے بہت ہی شکر گزار ہوں کہ الحمدللہ تعالیٰ بڑے اطمینان کے ساتھ آپ حضرات یہاں پر رہے ہیں. میں خواتین سے بھی شکر گزار ہوں. اور کسی بھی قسم کا اگر سوال ہو آپ حضرات کو تو یہاں علماء اکرام رہیں گے. بعد میں جو ہے آپ حضرات ان شاء اللہ تعالیٰ پوچھ لے سکتے ہیں. خواتین میں بھی اگر کسی قسم کا سوال ہو تو پوچھ لیا جا سکتا ہے. ریسٹورینٹ کے بارے میں ایک چیز کی یہ وضاحت دینا ضروری ہے. الحمدللہ ریسٹورینٹ میں سارا مال ہم لوگ سرٹیفائڈ ہی رکھتے ہیں, یعنی آپ ریسٹورینٹ کی ہر چیز استعمال کر سکتے ہیں. ریٹیل شاپ کا مسئلہ الگ ہے, فروزن آئٹم کا مسئلہ ریٹیل شاپ میں الگ ہے. ریسٹورینٹ کے اندر ہر چیز حلال ہوتی ہے, اس میں یہ چیز یعنی مانیٹر کی جاتی ہے, اس کے اندر یہ کوشش کی جاتی ہے. اللہ تبارک و تعالی ہمارے یہاں جمع ہونے کو اور سمجھنے کو قبول فرمائے. دعا فرمانے, مختصر دعا کر لیجیے. الحمدللہ رب العالمین, اللهم صل علی سیدنا شفیعنا حبیبنا مولانا محمد وبارک وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم انك انت العزيز الاكرم. اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه, وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. لا اله الا انت سبحانك انا كنا من الظالمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين.